minutes, so you're going to hear a lot. If you listen on Friday, you'll hear a lot of that repeated here today. Stay tuned here for WGOD tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. You'll hear the sermon I just preached yesterday, and that was entitled, Why the Delay? There's a reason and an answer for that. Why has not the Lord returned yet? Why have we not seen the so-called rapture of the church, the gathering together? That we know is a fact. He says he's going to do that, that he will gather together his elect from the four winds. So question, why hasn't that happened yet? That's what we're going to hear on the radio here Tuesday and Wednesday. Sunday, I'm going to address that wacky woman bishop who said those things to President Trump. We're going to look at that. People are bewildered. They don't understand. There's an answer for that. A. B, you shouldn't be surprised when you see devils like that in the pulpit. You shouldn't be surprised. That's going to be my sermon this Sunday here. It's called, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up? We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Here today is part two of this message now. Let's get into the word now. We're in 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, Tuesday and Wednesday, you'll hear my sermon here, Why the Delay from Sunday. Then we'll get into 2 Peter at the rest of this week. Love to see you at church Sunday morning, 10:30. Wednesday, we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going through verse by verse Wednesday nights, Wednesday at 6. We'd love to see you. Okay, here we go. This is the rest of the sermon now out of 1 Peter. But please know and understand what you hold in your hand this morning. You possess a book in which the Holy Spirit is the author. Paul called it God-breathed. He invented a word, theopneustos. Theos is God, pneuma means spirit. To describe what this book is, God-breathed. Written down by eyewitnesses who were there. They were there. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15:1, 15:3. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. After that, he was seen. Notice the catchphrase here. It's going to come up four or five times. He was seen. By Cephas, that's his Aramaic name, Peter. So that's verse 5. After that, he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:6. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this day. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James. Then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. So let me get this straight. Peter writes two books in this. He's an eyewitness. James writes one. Paul wrote 14 letters in here. 14, if you count Hebrews. Written by eyewitnesses who could tell you the color of Jesus' eyes. Praise be to God. There's power in being an eyewitness. There's power in it. All these are eyewitnesses. On a cold spring day in 1935 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, George Herman Ruth hit three home runs in one game. One of his last games, number 712, 713, and 714. Imagine being at that game that day in Pittsburgh, seeing him hit number 714, and being an eyewitness to Babe Ruth hitting 714 home runs, or hitting three in a game. You see, eyewitnesses preserve history for us.
as more and more Jews die who were alive in 1942, the more and more evil people come out of the woodwork and selectively tell people, there was no Holocaust. I'll tell you what, that dude would not have gotten away with writing the book and doing the television series In Search of Jesus' Bones if there was any eyewitnesses left, because they would have slapped him. But there was none left, so that's how you get away with that. The old-time Jews from World War II, that's why they have a Holocaust memorial, so people wouldn't forget, because the eyewitnesses are dying and leaving this world. You got to have something there to remind people. That guy in search of Jesus' bones, he would have been disgraced by eyewitnesses. And indeed, he would have taken my advice and slapped him. A few weeks back, they uncovered a dead eyewitness. Same place where they found a whole bunch of other dead eyewitnesses. And in actuality, they're not dead at all. But they're alive. In Qumran, they uncovered a scroll of Nahum the prophet. The eyewitness was 2,100 years old. It was a book of the Old Testament prophet, Nahum. And it was 100% accurate down to every dotted I. When they looked and took the dust off of something they found in a cave from 50 years before anyone ever heard of Jesus and compare it to what they have now, every I was dotted on it. It was absolutely perfect. And that is an eyewitness. It's an eyewitness. The eyewitness survived to tell you that the Bible is true, every word of it. One last verse on eyewitness. My all-time favorite, spoken by Peter a few years earlier than this. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter said to him, speaking of Jesus, to him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Praise God. All the prophets, everyone bears witness that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me say, a whole lot of men and women eyewitnesses died so that you would know that truth. And remember that the next time doubts arise about the trustworthiness of your Bible, or if someone tries to discredit the eyewitnesses, remember what you have. People will always try to get you, if you watch this phony baloney garbage on the television, they'll try to get you to doubt. Don't go to National Geographic if you want to learn about the Bible. Read it and learn about the Bible. And there's a scripture verse that says, his spirit will confirm with ours that we are children of God. Read the word of God. Don't listen to these people on television. All right, let's close out this book. Peter's instructing the elders, if you remember. Elders being pastor, leaders. And how ironic, they were very similar to the last words the Lord spoke to him. In John 21, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. All right, verse 2. 1 Peter 5, 2. Shepherds, this time the word's a verb. Shepherd, the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, Greek word bishop, episkopos, episkopos, episcopal, bishop, overseer. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, that is, don't do it because you have to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, or the King James would say, not for filthy lucre, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That phrase, not fade away, is actually in Greek the name of a flower. The flower is in the amaranth, if anyone's ever heard of that. I haven't. Amaranth. Crown of glory is one of the few New Testament crowns you and I strive for. The crown of glory, that is, eternal glory. James mentions the crown of life. Paul mentions the crown of righteousness laid up for him. The last recorded words for Paul: there is now waiting for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. And not just to me, but all who have loved for his appearing. That's the last thing he ever spoke, was waiting on this crown. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whatever you do, don't forget this truth here today. God opposes the proud. That is, God resists the proud man or woman. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This might have been perhaps the first verse I ever had to learn the hard way as a Christian. If I ever could know the still small voice of God, it would have been hearing the voice of God say to me, 1 Peter 5:6. Probably the first verse I memorized. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That is, say you work with or you're married to a person who could never admit that they're wrong. Anyone know anybody like that? Have you ever worked with someone like that? Even a spouse or a mother or a father? I've worked with... Glad his camera's not turned around the other way. And you know that, at least in this particular instance, you know that you're right. And you know, at least for once in your life, you know you're right and the other person's wrong. Hasn't that happened to you? God is calling you to leave it alone. You take the high road by taking the low road in humility. Don't press it. Let God raise you up in due time. That's what he's saying. Even though you might be right, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will raise you up in due time. Let God raise you up instead of you flexing your muscles and raising yourself up. Let God do it. Let God do it. All right, next verse, key verse. First, we'll look at the problem. Then we'll look at the solution that Peter gives himself. Verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right, first of all, he says, be sober. That is, be in your right mind. I've preached this before, if you remember, how important it is to never get high and never to voluntarily give up control of your faculties, ever. When you're high, or when you voluntarily give up control of your mind, you do evil things. Because you're out of your mind. How can you fight things when you're out of your mind? You voluntarily go out of your mind. You can't win that fight when you're out of your mind. That's why he says to be sober-minded. The battle with the enemy is always here in your mind. Always. Be sober. You can't just sit around drinking, chasing away demons. You can't do that. You can't do it drunk. You weaponize yourself when you are obedient to the word of God. It's a 44 Magnum when you do what this book says. If you weaponize what God says to you in your word, in his word, look out, world. There's no demon you won't be able to conquer and overthrow, or addiction that you can't break, or trouble that you face. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you. Do what the word of God says. Always be in your right mind. See, I can say that because I was out of my mind for 20 years. 25 years. From eighth grade in school, what's that? 14 years old to 30. I was out of my mind. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Thank God he saved me and delivered me. Thank God he took me out of that mire and set my feet upon the rock. I can talk from experience. I was on hell's fire on that road. Thank God for what he's done. And this is why I'm an excitable guy. Because I'm grateful for what God's done for me, because I would have died. And when I see the government legalizing pot, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to give up control of your mind voluntarily. I don't mean having a lady put the mask on you when you're getting elbow surgery. I mean to go out here and recreationally give up control of your mind. You don't want to do that. Be sober, be vigilant, or be on your guard to refrain from sleeping. Believe it or not, the Greek word means. In Esposito vernacular, it would be you need to have eyes on the back of your head. As you keep your eyes out for the enemy. Here, described by Peter as a roaring lion. Do you know why lions roar like they do? The roaring paralyzes their prey so that they can't move, I read. But that should not apply to you, Christian. Because the Bible says that God has not given you a spirit of fear. But if, come on, say it, you all know it. Power, love, and a sound mind. Don't let these evil people in this country talk you out of staying in your right mind. It's evil. It's designed to get you to give up control of your mind. So that Satan can take control of your mind. This is a spiritual fight that we're in, believe me. There's a spiritual fight going on for you and for your mind here today. And you can beat it when you're in control. A roaring lion should not paralyze you. Do you think that Satan would have taken you out by now if he had the power to do that? Then the verse says, seeking whom he may devour. Makes me think of the lion out there in the Serengeti. Many times the lion goes after the weak caribou. And in the spiritual world, the weak caribou is the saint who doesn't exercise his faith in God's gymnasium. The weak Christian has never trained with his or her sword. The Apostle Paul says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God. Hebrews 5:13 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong food or meat belongs to those that are of full age, those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised." Gymnos, Greek word. This is God's gymnasium, is you and this book. You will conquer any enemy. Do what Jesus did. This was his weapon. I heard David Jeremiah said the other day, for the love of Pete, he used the book of Deuteronomy. Who would have done that? Deuteronomy? What did he say? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus used the word, that the word of God was his sword. The word of God is your sword as well. That's your weapon. And I'll tell you who else the devil won't seek out to devour. That is the child that keeps reminding the devil of his future. No, there's plenty of other stakes out there in the world for the devil to feast on. Who won't remind him of that? You need to be a porcupine to Satan, not a steak. Porcupine. Walter Bishop says that's God's proof that God has a sense of humor. It's up to you. Next time you're in a fight, don't run. But turn and fight. God has not given me a spirit of fear. All right. Peter's solution, verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist is the Greek word antitestami, which means to stand against. Stand against the devil. Be strong in the faith. That is, again, you know the word of God. The word of God is like broccoli to the devil. What's so funny? He can't stomach it. Also, the verse says you're not alone in the world. Don't think you're the only one, but be encouraged. You have brothers and sisters in the faith that are enduring the same suffering. Like this whole letter has been laying out. All right, let's wrap this up. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And again, let me say that he can just smell this. Now, let me say, maybe you say, well, how about if you're a new believer? Well, this doesn't work if you're a new believer, because God knows that, and he's got a tractor beam on new believers, and they're off limits. Don't you remember the special relationship maybe you had with God when you were a very new believer? Maybe you received dreams and visions and a special, unique relationship with him then that you might not have now. There's a tractor beam on you as a new believer. There's an off-limits sign hanging on your back. You're untouchable as a new believer. Like there must be some kind of warranty tag on the back of us. That once you've been a Christian, you see, for 2 years, or everyone's different. Some might be 6 weeks. Man, oh man, then that tag comes off. How well do you know the word of God? If you don't know the word of God and you're out here in the Serengeti, man, you smell like blood. Was watching an old video with the Blair Wiggins the other day, catching this man, and this shark just took a huge chunk and there's blood flying everywhere. That's what we smell like to him when you don't know the word of God. This is your weapon. Arm yourself with the word of God. You'll win every time. Okay, Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now he signs this letter again, kind of. By Silas, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. All right, meaning here, this is Silas's Greek, not Peter's. Peter dictated this letter to Silas, and Silas wrote it. They were called an amanuensis. Paul did the same thing. If you go and read the last chapter of Romans, you'll find out Paul did not write Romans. He dictated it. Someone else wrote it. And he even let the guy who wrote it say hi. I, Tertius, wrote this with my own hand. Read it for yourself. Okay, verse 13. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. Spiritual son, greet one another with a kiss. Peace to you and all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, now, Babylon. Peter had never been to Babylon, as far as we know. Babylon was the code word by early Christians in the day referring to Rome. Babylon meant Rome. So when we see the destruction of Babylon in the book of Revelation, we're kind of thinking this is talking about Rome and not the country or the land of Babylon. All right, now starting next week, Peter will pen his own letter. Considerably different Greek than this letter, written by his own hand, which will lead people to think that 2 Peter is a forgery.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.